Welcome back to the podcast. We're taking some time to look at the letter of 1 Timothy over the next few months. This letter reminds us what the church is meant to be, so I hope you find it helpful. First Timothy chapter 3, verse 8 to 13. In the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. If you were to come up with a list of things that really matter in a church, that really matter in our church, what would you say? Well, hopefully after last week, you're thinking, good leaders, great. You were listening. Perhaps you're thinking to yourself, Bible teaching, well, good, I'm happy with that. But where would you put serving? And I'm not just talking about the upfront stuff. What about the chairs? What about the tidying up? What about the locking up? What about the washing up? In the life of church, does serving matter? Does it matter who does it? Does it matter how they do it? Well, we're still in 1 Timothy tonight and seeing Paul coach his protege, Timothy, on how to set the church right. See, the church in Ephesus was having problems. They needed to be reoriented. They were focused in-house and not on the world outside. They were not doing what a church is meant to do. And so last time, Paul gave us a trustworthy saying. He showed us how important good leaders are in the church. And now, straight off the back of that, Paul talks about deacons in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now, it's worth saying that there is not much said about deacons in the Bible. In fact, there are only two passages that explicitly talk about them. This one here, and the very first verse, and only the very first verse, of Philippians. So that means it's very, very hard to nail down what exactly a deacon is. I mean, a lot of churches go further than we have here, understandably. But that does mean that when we hear the word deacon, perhaps we're bringing baggage to the word, more baggage than the Bible intends. So that means it's really important this evening that we're going to strip back all that we think we know about the topic and look at what we definitely do know. Let the Bible tell us what we should know. But Paul expects the role of deacon to be taken as seriously as that of an overseer. So we want to ensure this evening that we don't go further than the text here, but that we also don't go any less than the text. Now, one important thing for you to grasp is that the word deacon is simply the Bible's word for servant. If you wanted to impress your friends tomorrow with a bit of Greek, well, the word diakonos means servant. That's where we get our word deacon from. Paul's already used the word, actually, in chapter 1. He used it of himself. Chapter 1, verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service, or deaconing. And when we get to chapter 4, well, Timothy is going to be called a deacon too. And ultimately, that word is going to be used of Jesus in the Gospels. The Son of Man came to deacon. Well, the Son of Man came to serve. So first and foremost, when we hear the word deacon this evening, we're meant to be thinking servant. But here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, it appears to be used as a job description, a role inside the household of God. So let's see what Paul has to say, shall we? Does it matter how people serve, how people deacon in a church? Well, the answer is yes. It matters for themselves and for everyone else. It matters for themselves and for everyone else. We're going to work backwards on that this evening. So let's have a look at for everyone else. Have a look at verses 8 to 12. In the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect. sincere, not indulging in much wine and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then, if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children and his household well. So you see, we have another list of characteristics here, like we did for the overseers last week. And so, it does matter how people serve in the household of God. In fact, the very first four words in this section, they say quite a lot. In the same way. Paul introduces a new topic with that phrase. You can see it comes up again in verse 11. But saying in the same way, it connects us back to what Paul was just saying. So just like the overseers, so the deacons. And so the way the deacons behave has an impact in here and out there. The way that people generally serve at church has an impact in church and outside of it. Have you ever thought about serving, stacking chairs, washing up like that before? So a deacon must be worthy of respect. Well, what does that look like? Paul elaborates. There's a series of things here that they should not be. They shouldn't be insincere, not indulging in much wine, not pursuing dishonest gain. Like the overseer last week, they aren't to be attached to this world. Instead, like all Christians should be, they should be looking forward to the new creation instead. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. Well, this is where we have a bit of a difference with overseers last time. There's no requirement, you see, there for teaching. It's not saying that deacons can't teach, but there's no requirement to teach to be a deacon. But instead, what are they to do? Well, they're to uphold the faith. They're to hold on to the faith. Why is that going to matter? Well, just think about the inside and the outside for a moment. Inside, at church, why would it matter that someone in a key serving role holds the faith well? Well, if a church puts someone into a position, you assume, don't you, that that person is a role model. In fact, Paul is saying exactly that, isn't he? Deacons are to be worthy of respect. They're meant to be people that you can look up to, people that can be emulated. So when a church appoints someone to serve in a particular way, they're saying, look up to that person. It's very hard to not say that when you put someone at the front, is it? So you want a deacon to be holding on to the faith. You don't want a deacon who is loose on the faith. But what about the world out there? Well, if you knew that someone was heavily involved in a church, but also was the town drunk, you'd be questioning that church, wouldn't you? And if you're questioning a church, well, you're questioning God's household. And if you're questioning God's household, in the end, that means you're questioning God himself. In fact, we see this all the time, don't we? You only have to read the newspapers to find stories of people out there questioning what's going on in here. So who serves matters. It matters both inside God's household and outside God's household. In fact, in Paul's day, this is going to demonstrate exactly the very issue in Ephesus. To hold on to the faith with a clear conscience is something that the false teachers are not doing. See, it's those who have a clear conscience, back in chapter 1, verse 5, that are true believers. It is those with a seared conscience in chapter 4, verse 2, who are the false teachers. So don't have anything to do with the false teaching, Timothy. Don't accept false teaching in the church, Timothy, Paul says. Be careful who serves. And verse 10 highlights that again. First, test the deacon, and then let them serve. Now, that's not saying that we need to have a written test. I know some churches that do this, but it's not saying you need to have a written test that has to be passed. But again, like an overseer, you should be able to see over time that they are consistent with what they believe. To see that they're not a walking contradiction. To see that their characteristics, their defaults are right. To make sure that they're not out of sync with the faith that they profess. Now, verse 11, you can interpret verse 11 many, many ways. Does it mean the wives of a deacon, or the wife of a deacon? You shouldn't have multiple wives. Does it mean deaconesses, as in women deacons? Does it mean, as I read this week, female unmarried assistants to the deacons? Well, if you have the answer, please let me know. I've been trying to get my head around this all week. But I think the point is clear. the women are to be the same as the men. Worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. So rather than using the confusion of what verse 11 is talking about to limit who should be that way, let's use it to set the bar, shall we? See, those who are in the deacon role, they're consistent. They're to be in sync. And therefore, everyone who is in a serving role in a church should be the same. Man or woman, husband or wife. And their families should be the same. Have a look at verse 12. A deacon should be faithful to his wife and manage his children and household well. The church puts God's plan on display for the world, doesn't it? That's what we've been saying all the way through 1 Timothy. And the Christian family, as we said, does that too. So here you go. Here's a second week, second reminder of that fact. So how do we, with our families, get on with displaying God's household to the world? Let's be a church, shall we, that encourages that across the board. So does it matter how a deacon, how someone serves at church? Well, yes, for everybody else. But here's where it gets interesting. Also for themselves. Have a look at verse 13. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. See, in Timothy's church, there are many, many people doing things for gain. Many people who are seeking financial gain or status gain through the church. And we've seen that already, Paul say that that is wrong. That is not putting God's plan on display for the world. That's not focusing on the world out there. But what about this verse? Isn't this verse some form of gain? Well, throughout 1 Timothy, Paul is reminding us of God's plan for the world. Do you remember? He goes back to Genesis 1 and 2. But what should it have been? What God called good. That is what God's household should be, what he called good. And so, when Paul uses that good word again here, it's a good standing. It's what we should be as God's household, an excellent standing. A deacon, as a deacon serves the church, it is good. It is God's original intention for the world. And therefore, people should look and see that it is good. So as we reorient ourselves to God's plan, as we recognize what God says is good, what is excellent, we should praise it. And that leads to great assurance in the faith. Now that phrase works in two ways. Firstly, it cuts with the grain of what God wants us to be. See, it feels right to serve God's household because it is right. And secondly, it enables us to be bold in our faith, knowing that there is a connection between our service in here and the world out there. The Bible says that serving leads to great assurance. So let's take that seriously, shall we? Now, I think that means we've got a really interesting answer to someone in our church family who feels distant from God. See, I hear people in my role say that quite a lot. Perhaps you've heard people say that too. Well, what does Paul say the answer to that is here? Paul seems to be saying that the answer is to serve. It looks like Paul would say to you, "Oh, Paul, I feel like I'm struggling. I'm feeling distant from God." Well, come along, get stuck in church. Don't stay at home. Come along, be part of God's household. Muck in, join in. Don't feel distant. There is a solution to that. That is the way you grow in assurance of faith. So what are we to do with all this? Well, Paul's big point for Timothy, and that means his big point for us this evening, is to rethink serving. Primarily those in recognized serving roles in the church. That's what I'm taking deacons to be. But also every area of service in church, from behind the scenes to the upfront, all Christians are called to serve one another as we follow the servant king. Now, whether that serving is seen or not, whether it is official or not, it really matters how someone serves in church. Every aspect of God's household is there to bring glory to God. It is good. It goes with the design. It displays God's plan to the rest of the world. And so serving really does matter. In Ephesus, the church needs to rethink how it goes about its day-to-day. Again, in context, it might be that this is used to remove people from serving roles. But even in doing that, it's going to set the standard for the church to be God's household in the world. See, it's part of reaching the world out there to make sure that the in here is done well. I mean, you could take it so far to say part of our evangelism to the world out there is based on how we do things in here. That's quite surprising, isn't it? But for us, particularly at Christchurch Hemel, how do you serve at the moment? What do you think about your role in this very household? It can be quite hard sometimes, can't it? Sometimes when things don't happen the way they're meant to happen, should I carry on doing it? Or if you are leading an area of church life, do you think it matters how you do it? Well, hopefully we've all seen this evening how important serving is in the life of the church and for the world out there. I'd like to say I'm really grateful to be part of a church that does really serve one another. I mean, we've had 7 years, haven't we? And still, we're doing all sorts of things. There's loads of jobs to do here at the church. It's great to see all the different ways that people do it, all the sorts of different ways. But I think the challenge we've got, particularly as we've become more established, as they say, is to think we've ticked that box and to move on. Let's just say characteristics are always to be checked. Just like the leaders last week, I should have said last week, I want you to hold me to those characteristics last week. Let's hold one another. Let's encourage one another with these characteristics each day too. And let's take verse 13 to be true, shall we? What does that look like for us? Well, let's honour those who serve among us. Parents, let's make a big deal to our children how great serving is. It is good. It is God's plan for putting his glory on display. So let's be thankful. Let's be a thankful church for the ways that we do serve one another. And let's carry on. Let's crack on and carry on doing it. And let's serve knowing that we've been served first because Christ has served us. Let me read verse 13 one more time. Let's really take this week and really believe it. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus.
Well, thank you for taking the time to listen. I hope it was helpful. Any comments or questions can be sent to the podcast email, podcast@david-couch.com. And I'll see you next week.